Now, the greatest story never told with Miles and Thrill.
75!
Wow.
That's a big number on the podcast world, isn't it?
It is.
Man, we hit a milestone there. Very cool. Thank you for joining us for the Greatest Story Never Told podcast.
75. You know, we actually, we were talking to one of our big bosses earlier today, and he brought up this very podcast. Said, you guys have been doing it for a while now. You must be just making up stories because you're running out of them. And we said, we're not making up any of our stories, but we now have to be exceptionally selective about the stories we tell because of timelines, and we don't want to incriminate Ryan Castle.
That's exactly right. That's what we told him. Yeah. So we're just trying to do our best not to get anybody in trouble on this damn thing. Let's see. We don't have a sponsor today for our Greatest Story Never Told podcast, but if you please would make a donation to one of the three local Fisher houses in the Pacific Northwest, we will make you the unofficial sponsor. Whatever you're plugging there, you got a chicken dinner going on at the VFD, you're slinging hot dogs out of a truck, you got a podcast, you're on a YouTube channel, we don't care. Just make a donation, and we'll make you the sponsor of the podcast. Before I get into this real quick, I just want to give a couple personal notes. My daughter, she just turned 22 years old. I'm very proud of her. She called me the other day, and she said, Dad, what are you doing on June the 12th or somewhere in there? It's Saturday. And I said, I don't know. I'm not really sure. She said, well, I would like to do something. I'd like to go out for dinner for my graduation from college. And I said, baby, you're graduating from college. I did not know that. That's very cool. Yes, let's very much go to dinner.
Oh, no.
That's awesome. I wasn't sure exactly when she was graduating.
Right, right, right.
But I'm very proud of her that she's graduating. She's very excited. She was initially going to go down to Mexico, possibly, and teach for a little while. But lo and behold, her first choice that she put down, which was to go to Thailand, ended up coming through. So as soon as she graduates, my kid's going to get on a plane and go over and teach in Thailand for 3 months, 6 months, maybe a year, maybe longer. Okay. We don't know yet, but that's pretty cool news there. My other daughter's in Colombia, and I don't know what the f*** she's doing down there. She's been down there for like a week, and I'm scared to death that something's going wrong with her. Your kid's doing all right, right? Everybody's good at home?
Yeah, they're great.
Cool. All right, let's see here. As far as the podcast goes today, we've had a couple of emails, people who have been saying, hey, we are just curious about how certain things came on the show. You know, sound effects, different things. How did you come up with these different ideas? A lot of the sound effects just kind of fell into our lap based on events that happened, whether it was a Vince Neil interview. We should probably play that Vince Neil interview.
A script is a story. It's not a storybook.
But the thing about playing a Vince Neil interview, it's not even a good interview.
No,
you would
not,
literally
no.
Just listen to see what a p*** he is. You know, nothing we did. We did not set him up to look bad. The guy is just a raging, flaming a*****, and he has no control over it.
Right.
To the point, he doesn't even like to make you mad. Like, who Aaron Lewis made us mad because before we did the interview, we were having a normal conversation. And once we opened the mics, all of a sudden, he changed who he was. So it's like, suck a dick, right? But Vince Neil, he's just an a*****. I mean, you can't hate him. You're like, look, this is who he is. He's not being mean to you. He's being Vince. He is awake.
Right.
You have spoken to him. He has responded. And maybe it's off color, but he doesn't know any better.
Mm-hmm. And apparently Ryan didn't quite know that as that interview
was
coming up.
We had heard the rumors. And so Castle had announced to us. He goes, hey, man, got your great interview, Vince Neil, Motley Crue. And he's right in a certain respect. Yes, Vince Neil is part of this legendary band. But we had said, you know, off air, said, look, man, we hear this guy's a douche. Anyone else from the band would be much better than Vince Neil. Again, so we opened our show. We got Vince Neil coming up, and we're making all these inside jokes about what an a*****he is. And Castle, he was mad.
Mm-hmm.
Kicks the door open during the break and goes, do we have a problem? We said no. And then Castle lamented, hey, man, I put a lot of work to get that. We said,
and he did.
We said, we know. This is not about what you have done. It's about who you got. So we do the Vince Neil interview. At the end of the interview, we open the studio door. Castle's office at this time is directly across from the studio. He's sitting at his desk. He looks directly at me, and he doesn't say it a lot. He just mouths the word, sorry. Don't worry about it, man. We were prepared.
Right.
We knew.
And we were firefighters,
right. So we brought a hose. And we knew what we were engaged
in. Like 12-year-olds, whenever like a Motley Crue song comes on, we'll like home sweet home fries.
We've got a number of
jokes that have to deal with
Motley
food.
Croutons.
I think that was the first time I ever saw Castle get his hackles up, though.
Oh, yeah. He's a pretty cool dude.
He's like
by
the nicest
things.
Guy.
But yeah, he was real, and I got it. Right. He got it. But the whole thing is Vince proved our theory for us.
Yeah, and you brought up Aaron Lewis from Sting. God, this just happened to me this morning. I know it's stupid, but look, man, I got to drop a good dad joke for, you know, whenever I can. So I've got a couple friends. They work at they own a bar in Fremont, and they just put a new deck on the outside of the bar. It's really nice, okay? But today, they're out there staining the outside of the thing. It was, you know, bare wood or whatever. So I walk by and I stop and I'm looking at it and they're standing and I'm like, do you think if I stood out here and saying it's been a while that people would get it? Stained.
You know what? I'm sorry. I'm going to sing that when I do my kids' laundry.
What are you doing?
Just hold up their underwear.
Stained.
Stained.
Stained. Okay, so today,
got that Aaron Lewis underwear in the laundry.
This is a lot of death talk, but we'll just get through it real quick here. Just to explain to you where something came from. By the way, it's a 4-year anniversary as we cut this of Chris Cornell's death today. And a little bit after that, if you'll remember in 2017, Chester Bennington, he passed away. He took his own life. He was obviously one of the lead singers in Linkin Park and did a brief stint with the Stone Temple Pilots. The reason being that Scott Weiland, he was not in a good spot at that point in time. Scott passed in 2015 in December. Now we had Chester Bennington, who had replaced him in Stone Temple Pilots, on along with Robert DeLeo, who was one of the founding guys in Stone Temple Pilots. He and his brother Dean is the guitarist, and Robert is the bassist. But both of those guys are just Robert's a great guy.
They're Chester, so normal. It was weird. It was When we talk to DeLeo, it's like you meet a guy who you got along with on an airplane.
Right.
You know what I mean? He's as normal as it gets.
But he's also the guy, like, if you got into a fight in a bar in Jersey, he's either going to kick your ass or he's going to save your ass. You know what I mean? Like, he's this big dude, right? But the nicest guy in the world. So, like, we used to do a lot more Philly jokes and Jersey jokes and all this. We always talk about the fact that we, like, slacks. Instead of pants, you know, like someone.
Because in Jersey, the slacks.
The slacks.
You wear slacks.
Kind of slack. I'm sizing you up, Mike. I think you're about 38, 32 slacks right now. Probably right in there.
38, 32. That is a fat, short dude.
Yes, it is.
No, but I think I'm pretty close. Sometimes a 36. It depends on the slacks.
That's me, Steve.
That's what I said.
So I got plaid slacks, I got tan slacks, I got brown slacks, I got gray slacks, I got navy freaking slacks. Anyway. I believe this is the interview where we bring this up for the very first time. And we bring it up with Robert DeLeo because I don't think we're poking fun at him from being from Jersey.
Yeah, we are. But if you say I'm from New Jersey and we start going slacks, we're making fun of you.
Yeah, but it was it was great. And by the way, those two men, they ran out of the studio. I got a buddy named Jay, and Jay used to run a weed shop up in Fremont. Jay's a really good guy. He used to go to Pain in the Grass, the Gorge. He is a rock and roll guy. True and true. His favorite band, one of his favorite bands, Stone Temple Pilots. Like, they're in his top three. Which, it's not that I'm not a Stone Temple Pilots fan. I just never have met anyone that was such a massive fan as
he was.
He wore the shirts and everything else. So we had a meet and greet down at the Paramount for a bunch of KISW listeners to go down with Stone Temple Pilots and do an air check. Jay was one of those guys. And at this point in time, Chester and Robert had left the studio. They went straight down to the Paramount. They got right on stage. They did their sound check. My buddy Jay said that Robert and Chester and all those guys, they sat on the end of the stage. They jumped down. They signed everybody's stuff. They took pictures of anyone. They talked for 45 minutes, an hour. So he's got all these pictures.
They did what artists should do because the artists, and it doesn't matter who they are. It could be Prince. It could be Mike. You could talk about the top artists of all time, right? The Beatles. You ain't shit without fans. They're the reason you're successful. I mean, that's... Period. And you treat those people well.
And as far as bands go that have replaced a lead singer, they couldn't have picked a better choice. As far as just somebody who could sing the songs, they had new material and everything else. So for episode number 75, as we celebrate 50 years here at KISW, let's go back in time. And Chester Bennington and Robert DeLeo of Stone Temple Pilots. Back in time.
Time.
Yeah.
Time.
Oh, buddy, look who it is. Chester Bennington and Robert DeLeo from the band known as Stone Temple Pilots. Guys, how are you? Here we are.
Fantastic.
Came up here to be on the show because you wanted to kick off your North American tour.
I'm very excited for us.
And last time we mentioned we saw you guys was Dead by Sunrise, Chester, when you were in that project. Correct. Army of Anyone for you, Robert.
Yes.
Back in the day, and now you guys have gotten together and formed a project called Stone Temple Pilots.
Super group.
Yes. It leads us to believe that we are, like, we're matchmakers.
That's right.
You know, having spoken to both of you in separate bands, obviously you come on this show, some kind of connection is made, and it's like, guys, let's do this. Mm-hmm. So, we just want to say you're welcome.
Well, thank you, thank you for everything you guys have done for us.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes, indeed. You guys will not be here. We play some Stone Temple Pilots on the radio station. I don't know if you know that or not. We played it for 20-some years, it seems like. You know,
well, thank you.
Did you ever think that, and I know, Chester, you're just like we are, you're a fan of Stone Temple Pilots.
Correct, yeah.
And
because most people join bands they don't like, Miles.
Right, exactly. You know, and then you're forced into this role.
I never liked them, but it was a gig. I'm like, I'll sing your crap.
But you know all the songs. It's just like we did and everything else.
Correct,
and it's you know, I don't think of the time when all the bands came out at that point in time in the 90s and in the late 80s that, you know, you knew which bands were going to have that longevity and which were going to be around for that long of a time. Some did, some didn't. You know, when Motley Crue came out and Rat came out, I'm like, Rat kicks ass. You know, and I still like Rat, but you never know what bands are going to be, you know.
Oh, don't brag.
They're going to stand the test of time. And Stone Temple Pilots is one of those bands. And it's got to be kind of like, wow, man, this is a little crazy.
It's about writing songs, you know. It's song power, really. That's really what is the longevity of a band to me is songs.
And, I mean, how hard is it to write in sunny California, you know what I mean? As far as like trying to, do you have to make yourself depressed?
Well,
I work really hard at screwing my life up as much as possible so I can have, you know, great inspiration.
But that's why self-destructive people are so successful in music. You can make millions and you can live in this great place, and instead of sounding like the Beach Boys, like, if you're just a hot mess, man, but you're artistic, like, probably going to kick ass for a while.
But Chester, your medical file here reads War and Peace.
Do you need some help lifting
Let's see. Oh, I like this one. Here you go. Chester Bennington.
Bennington!
Has suffered various medical issues.
Yes.
He suffered a severe bite.
Correct.
Bite?
From a recluse spider?
Yeah.
Well, what happened? With odds?
Bit on the ass.
You got bit on the ass by a recluse spider.
Yeah.
What kind of kinky sex are you into? Like,
I mean, dude, I'm into all sorts of things. You know what I mean? I've done some crazy stuff that I don't even remember, you know? I was on tour. It was like one of our first tours. I think it was maybe Ozfest or something. But I got bit by something. It wasn't really itchy or whatever.
Were you sleeping or were you?
Yeah, I woke up.
And, that's the worst.
I had like a little, bump on my back. And then I didn't really think of it. I'm like, I'm the type of person that like has enough willpower not to scratch the bug bite.
Really?
I'm like, yeah.
You listen like to your mother with a chicken pox.
Hey, once you've had a reaction to penicillin like I did, a bug bite is nothing. You're just like, I can get through.
Did you
this.
Think it was like
but
an ingrown hair?
This is a brown recluse
maybe,
spider.
Yeah, so I had no idea. So like a week later,
goddamn Superman over here. It's a brown recluse spider.
A week later, I'm like running into walls and like I can't.
I won't scratch
I have no
my
depth
ass.
Perception.
What do you mean you're going loopy?
Meaning, like, I don't have depth perception, so I think something's in one place, but it's actually in another. So I'm like walking into walls. I'm like,
so you're holding your wrist when you go
losing
pee
my concentration and like dropping out of frames of, you know, the continued frames of thought.
But you have no
so
idea.
So you'll
why.
Do that, but you won't scratch a bug bite.
And then, yeah. So I was like, this is weird. I think I need to see a doctor. And then I realized that, you know, in the shower over the course of the week that this thing was getting bigger on my back, and then it eventually was on a you know about a week later it was oozing in black. And
that's called flesh-eating disease.
Oh, God.
Well, what do they do to get rid of it, man? I mean,
they put me on some crazy course of antibiotics and said, you know, cross your fingers and hope that this doesn't get worse.
Oh, no,
I was like,
no.
When the doctor says, cross your fingers.
No, it gets worse. In the summer of 2003, it says Bennington began to suffer from extreme abdominal pain and gastrointestinal issues.
Yes.
While in Prague.
Correct.
What was it? Gone wrong?
No, it ends up that I ended up needing surgery on my stomach because it had herniated up into my esophagus. And so I wasn't able to keep anything down. And so I was like vomiting.
So I didn't have to eat.
Oh, my God. So you couldn't keep anything down at all because your esophagus was blocked.
Yeah, it's like I'd be on stage and I'd you know drink some water and then I'd be running around and I'd do like my little full body headbang and everything, the water would fly out.
People had to love that.
Okay. It was gross.
I kept thinking that kid barfed on me six times.
That kid probably thinks that was sweat, and that was like me. Literally, that was the water I just drank flying out of my.
There's
guts.
Some kid out there who's like Chester Bennington puked on me.
Yeah, so,
a lot.
I didn't wash my hand in 3 years.
Since 2003, I have not been able to burp or vomit.
There's more.
Wow.
Bennington then sustained.
Wait, that can't be true.
It's true.
You can't burp or vomit.
Burp or vomit.
Nope.
So
Is that because that's like a rat, man?
They turned me into Captain Flatulence.
So
okay. Everyone has separate buses. Let's see. Then we move on here. Bennington sustained a wrist injury October 2007 while attempting to jump off a platform during a show in Melbourne, Australia at Rod Laver Arena. How ironic.
That's right.
How high was the riser?
It was about 4 feet or so, a little over 4 feet tall. I was running up. Usually I time my jumps off the stuff. So I always like to jump off the top of this riser right at the beginning of paper cut, land on the one, bam, you know. And so this time I mistimed my steps, came up a step short, and went to do the jump off the top step, and my shoe, the toe of my right foot, caught the lip of the step. So I go to jump, stop, go Bam. Straight down, break Bam. My arm.
Did you know instantly that, oh, man, this is going to suck?
Pretty much when I looked over and my head going down was looking Mike in the eye, I said, I think I'm a little high. Yeah,
Robert, you'll be happy to know.
This is a long way down.
He continued the show anyway. So if anything happens on the tour, he keeps on playing.
He'll be sitting down playing.
I finished the show.
Yeah, let's see here. And then you just you've got a badass hoop game apparently, as you completely destroyed your ankle just a couple months ago in a game of basketball.
Yep.
I mean, shattered it. I mean, completely messed the thing up, right?
I didn't shatter it. I broke the ankle, moved a bunch of bones around, and tore all the ligaments holding my ankle and my foot together. So
you're a disaster.
I have like pins and hardware in there now. And,
unbelievable.
Has it always?
I did the show that night.
Way?
I did do the.
Did you come out on one of those roller scooters?
I did. I had
no,
a
no
scooter.
You did not.
I did. I had crutches and a roller scooter, and I'm telling you, man, that sucked ass.
Maybe a Segway. Maybe you should go to the stand up Segway. So it looks like you're moving more.
Man,
you know what I mean?
But dazzle.
I needed like levitating pills or something. I need someone to make like a magic rug or something. That's what I needed.
How do you guys feel about going out on tour? Obviously, you guys have done various shows and shorter tours or whatever, but how excited are you guys to get out there and just get underway and let everybody see Stone Temple Pilots and what you guys are doing now? And how exciting is that?
Really exciting. Feels great. Really great.
Yeah, I would have to think so. And you guys are working on a new one, aren't you?
Yes.
Studio-wise, I know you guys have been working on that for a while. So does this continue the writing process while you're on the road? Does this make that process a little bit easier? Does it kind of put it on hold for a little bit?
Absolutely. It all helps. It's all life lessons and living life and putting it towards music.
Yeah, and I'm sure you guys have spent way too much time at home, and I know that's kind of a weird thing, but after a while, like, the kids or whatever can get, you know, like, okay, well, I can go away for a couple weeks.
Touring used to be, like, the most stressful and most horrifying idea. It was, like, very difficult. It was hard to go away. Now touring is, like, I look forward to it. It's like a
vacation. Chicken relax.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yes. It's a vacation from life. I mean, I'm like, I get to go hang out and with my friends and play music every night and meet really nice people and take pictures and sign autographs. And it's like, you know, and then normally I would go work out and, you know, now I have to like lay around. But it's like a buddy spa.
Like you got
you
kids.
I mean?
You got
it's
kids
amazing.
Running around. You got kids running around.
You know what it is? You know what it is? Daddy time and rock and roll time are very different from each other.
Sure.
They're way different.
Do you guys go to Costco? Do you have that kind of lifestyle? You know what I mean?
That's why you want to go on tour.
Does Robert DeLeo cut grass? Like, if I were to drive by your house, you out there, like, you know, with a weed whacker trimming and stuff like that.
But how good is your lawn, man? You're cutting the grass just because you got to cut the grass, or you like one of those dudes that when you cut the grass, man,
like neighbor
it is
wars.
On.
Oh, man, I like being home. I like being home as well as I like being on the road, you know, but daddy time and rock and roll time are a lot different.
Oh, hell yeah.
You know, we're going on stage at 10, and usually that's when I'm cuddling with my 4-year-old, you know? So it's a bit of a change, but.
You can snuggle with Chester.
Yeah, we can
sorry, I'll give each other a little snuggle before you hit the stage.
I'm a horrible cuddler.
Robert, where do you live? I know you live, in Arizona,
Chester? Dude, I'd cuddle you. I'm a bad cuddler.
I'm a good hugger, though. I'll hug you, but I'm not going to cuddle.
I live in California, but originally from New Jersey.
Okay. So you grew up in New Jersey.
Get out of here. I was just talking to somebody because there was a department store where we were little. It was called Two Guys.
Two Guys!
Did you have Two Guys?
No.
No.
Yeah, I was just thinking like Two Guys.
Two Guys.
That's the name of the department store?
That was the name of the department
store. We'll negotiate every price. We got no price.
You go down there. You talk to Two Guys. They're going to put you in a suit.
There's like a new hoagie place that's big in L.A. right now. Like, come get your hoagie or something. Get your grinder right here.
Yeah, right.
Right. Stone Temple Pilots tonight at
Two Guys.
Two pieces of bread.
I mean,
yeah, we were going to change the name of the band to Four Guys.
Yeah, Four Guys.
Well, Four Guys.
How about Fellas? Does Fellas sound better? fella to fella.
You're going to enjoy what we do. Is it understood?
And if you don't, it's going to be very bad for you.
Yeah. Chester, do you have dangerous animals in your yard in Arizona, living in the desert? Do you have tarantulas? Any like
any other bug bites you won't scratch, like scorpions? Like,
oh, yeah.
Round recluse. Look,
everything in the desert, everything where I grew up is made to hurt you. Or kill you.
So you don't take your family out on hikes or anything like that.
Oh, of course you do. Yeah, I mean, I used to run barefoot on the blacktop at 115 degrees because that was just it, that was what summer was. I had no idea that that was hotter than the ground.
Fast forward to your recent medical records there. Oh, yeah, 115 degrees, I'd run barefoot. Scratch a spider bite. I almost died.
I grew up crashing motorcycles into trees in the desert. That was what I grew up on, riding BMX bikes and skateboarding. I did was leave my house first thing in the morning, go out in the desert, run around for 8 hours, and then come home all dirty and crazy and sweaty.
It's a miracle you're alive, Tristan.
Really, I mean, honestly,
just as I listen to this.
But yeah, but everything out there is meant to kill you, or survive.
So, well, yeah, it's the desert, man.
Yeah, it's extremely difficult to kill the things that are from the desert, which is why I keep coming back from all these injuries.
You ever get stung by a scorpion?
Thankfully, no.
No. All right.
But pretty much everybody I know has. I did wake up with a scorpion staring me down in the morning, and then my cat actually attacked it and killed it.
Jesus.
Okay, I was going to ask, what's the attitude?
And you choose to live there. Robert, can we get into that point where Stone Temple Pilots is going to be close to Rock and Roll Hall of Fame voting and
what
all
we're
that
saying
stuff.
Is you're getting old.
When is that? Yes. When is that coming around?
It's got to be. I know that. It's got to be. Don't have to remind me.
It's got to be. Well, you look. That's why it's, people want an honor to go into Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, but then again, it means I'm getting old.
Not quite at the Free Denny's breakfast card.
You look a lot better than your brother. That's a good thing. But your brother was supposed to be like a real intelligent businessman. Like he was actually going to be somebody. And then you pulled him into this band. Isn't that the way the story goes? Or something
I did.
Like that?
I pioneered my way out to California to do music. But he's the one who influenced me to start playing first off. So.
And did you ever think that this would be your life and that you would have, your name would be on a list of bands for, at one point in time, Linkin Park? It's just going to take a little bit more time on the timeline is concerned. But is that a weird thing?
I came from a 5,000-person square mile town in New Jersey. And, I'm still
miss you.
I'm still that person, you know what I mean? And it's very weird.
And that's a different.
Not a lot of people say that. From a small town in Jersey.
Yeah.
What did I post?
Yeah. What got you? What was it, family moving out to California?
No, I moved out by myself after I graduated high school.
Like I've had enough.
Just to pursue music or just to see what happens?
I went out there to go to art school, actually, and I got kind of... Dean and I had a cover band, because on the Jersey Shore, that's really
that's
how
everything.
You do covers, mm-hmm. And we did covers and threw some originals in, and,
Then you realize you moved to the West Coast, you didn't have to do Springsteen anymore.
Nobody
knew who Nils Lofgren was.
Right. Nils and Bruce would come watch us play at the Stone Pony on Monday nights because there was no one else there. So,
that's crazy.
Yeah.
That is.
I was in high school. I was playing bars when I was 16, 17, and, I had 30-year-old women coming up to me, and I was like,
how was that, man?
Well, I was like, holding an instrument is kind of cool,
Eskimo brother!
Get out. Chester, is there a difference between the Stone Temple Pilot crowd and a Linkin Park crowd? Is there anything that you can look out on stage? Is there any difference one way or another?
Either group's sweatier, dresses better.
There's less mosh pits.
He's wearing that.
There are definitely fewer mosh pits.
Okay.
The thing about STP is it's much sexier, I think, musically.
It was.
Linkin Park is pretty much pure anger.
Because your wrist and your ankle.
Yeah, it's like anger, sadness, and
spider
then,
bite on the butt will probably.
I did not scratch my ass for over 7 days.
That's a great song, right?
Walking into walls.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you're pretty much that's about right. Yeah.
Yeah.
But no, seriously, it's I think for every musician, when I wanted to be on Broadway when I was a kid. Like when my dream was like being on Broadway and playing like these crazy character roles. I was the guy in all the plays that had like 5 or 6 parts. I had to change characters all the time. I had to sing in different voices. Sometimes I had to be 2 characters in 1 scene. It was crazy.
So there's a lot more of that now for you for Stone Temple Pilots.
It's fun. And so I think that's where I found my voice. I mean, I always sang as a kid. I always kind of sang the songs, and I figured that was what everybody did. And
Well, everybody does it. It's just who does it well.
And then, so, you know, when it was like time to get into high school and people were like interested in music and people around me were kind of interested in arts, and when kids were like, man, I wish I knew someone who could sing, I was like, I can do that. And it just kind of all of a sudden creating music and playing it in front of people felt like that was what I was supposed to do. And from that point on, I mean, you know, I made my first record when I was 16. I've been making records ever since. I've been playing gigs since I was 14 years old. And
I think I touched my first boob when I was 14.
I mean, mm-hmm. dude, that's what we do. And yep. And so, like, for us, that's still what we do. I mean, mm-hmm. we're in Robert's basement making music, recording it ourselves, writing it ourselves. We rehearse there. Up until this last rehearsal, we borrowed his wife's PA.
Nice. I'm glad you know somebody.
And it's fun. It's funny because it works really great for us because it's very intimate and small, and it reminds us all the time of like why we love doing what we do. And I don't see that changing, regardless of the success of the band, whether, you know, we become really big and make, you know, lots of money or whatever. It doesn't matter.
Well, no one's heard of Stone Temple Pilots.
Well, but I'm saying, like,
that's an uphill battle.
But I'm saying, like, I am not Scott, and I am a new singer in the band, and I am in another band, and that there are people who come to the shows who are skeptical and they wonder what they're going to see, and they leave and they're converted and they like what's happening and they see us all having a great time and we enjoy
playing. Kind of get to show the people that tonight.
Don't worry about it. When I leave work tonight, I'll be dressed as a woman. It's the same thing, and it's like, look, It's a change. But, it's not what you expected, and in the end, they enjoy it.
But this is it. This is the time where you're going to get the reviews. This is when people are going to come out and see you guys, and there'll be anticipation about the album, and it'll be one of those things where if there was any questions, they'll be answered when you guys get out there and do your thing.
I mean,
right?
We've been out there. We've played a bunch of shows together so far, and anybody can go online and watch, you know, and see what we do, and they'll know what they're going to see tonight. And we're very pleased with the way we are with the way. Things go when we play live. I mean, it just feels really good. There's a lot of energy, and
you have to be recharged, Robert.
Super fun, yeah,
absolutely.
You know, I know you've gone through a number of years of ups and downs on the professional level as well. Just as far as what's going to happen, what doesn't happen, what's going to happen.
Sure.
Can we get this?
What said was happened. What said was not happened. Yeah, what might happen if you said it's going to happen? Well, that didn't happen.
And trying and reaching out and all that crap, and then the legal system and all that weirdness, and now here you are, and you've got one of the best possible scenario. And I would have to think that the writing, the creative is better, and everything is kind of everybody on the same page, and you guys are juiced, and
it's not just a musical thing, it's a quality of life. And I think the quality of life is you know, we're moving on.
Without question. And I'm sure that if there's any doubters out there, that this tour will take care of them.
How long is this tour scheduled to be, by the way? Like, you guys are starting tonight. Is it you guys are gone for the next 12 and a half years, or what are you saying?
No, this tour is going to be a few weeks long, this leg of this tour. And then there's like some... We're going to finish recording the record, and there's some festival dates that Linkin Park is doing, as well as STP, over the next few months.
Ooh, if you guys play them together, just saying.
You guys had played together. Ahead. Didn't you guys play a festival back in the day a while?
We played the Family Values Tour together.
That's exactly right.
They actually, I would watch the show every night, and then one night, out of nowhere, with no discussion whatsoever, I was grabbed on the side of the stage, and the microphone was put in my hand and put in front of everybody, and it was like, I guess I'm singing the song. I hope I know the words. I'm a melody guy.
What was the song? Do you remember?
I think it was...
I like the song that Robert wrote about to masturbation, the Vaseline song.
I think it was
the
Bobbitt
song, Half the Man I Used to Be. That was that time.
Touching tribute.
Remember that song came out and Lorena Bobbitt chopped off her husband's penis?
Your song instantly became...
same time. I don't know if you ever really correlated that together, but it really happened that way.
You know, sometimes things that happen in the universe are meant to happen.
We're right.
He's Half the Man I Used to Be.
It's amazing, yeah.
It really is. Stone Temple
the
Pilots
soundtrack
tonight.
To his life,
that's
fellas.
Exactly right. At the Paramount, Chester Bennington, Robert DeLeo, thank you guys so much for stopping by. Great to see you guys again,
thank
man.
You.
And
thank
best
you so
of luck
much.
On everything. Hopefully, if you stop back by in Seattle, we can see you again.
For
Thanks
sure.
So
thank
much.
You.
You've been listening to The Greatest Story Never Told with Miles and Thrill on Radio.com.
Oh, man! A Double Flush production.